Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word. The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday after Trinity is from Exodus chapter 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. O Lord, have mercy upon us. We now read responsively by half verse the introit, which can be found in your bulletin. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The heavens declare the glory of God. Day to day pours out speech. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their measuring line goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit is to the end of them. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. Who can discern his errors? Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The epistle is from Romans chapter 6. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire. So, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny." O Lord, have mercy upon us. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When did you die? Maybe a little bit of a confusing question, right? At least I hope that most of you are still alive. I know it is a little bit roasty in here. But our epistle reading for today makes it clear that you have, in fact, already died once in your life. Paul here is talking, and he begins with, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death." When you were baptized, you died that day. So another way to ask that initial question is, when were you baptized? This is something that maybe we need to work on a little bit. Because I think that most people have no idea when their baptismal birthday is. And it's something that nowadays, especially with all of our fun electronics, you can just put it into your calendar and it's there every single time when it comes around to that time of the year. Or if you still hold a physical calendar, you can just add it as another one of the dates that you add onto your calendar when you get a new one and go through and add all the dates that you do through the year. If you don't know when your baptismal birthday is and you're a member here, feel free to let me know or let Emily know, and we would be happy to look it up for you. Because it's a good thing to celebrate the first day that we died. Because we recognize the truth that that is also the first day spiritually that we lived. to remember the day that we were washed clean of our sins. For, as Paul says, we were buried with Christ into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. When we were baptized, we were drowned. That old Adam inside of us, that heart of stone that we were all born with, that original sin that we have, it died. It died because we were baptized into Christ. It died because Christ was baptized, and then when he went up onto the cross and died there, it is as if we died there as well. This is the miracle of baptism. In baptism, we are united with Christ in a death like his. Because we have been baptized, because Christ was baptized, when he died on the cross, we died on the cross. Because of that, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Because, of course, we know Jesus didn't stay dead on the cross. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, and just like we died with him on the cross, so too did we rise with him when he rose. We know, therefore, that our old self, our sinful self, was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. Sin died. That was the point of Jesus dying on the cross, that in him, as the bearer of all the sin of the entire world, that sin could be killed. That was the point. That is why God sent his Son, in order that he could take care of our sin problem, in order that he could judge our sin. And he did. Which means that now we no longer are enslaved by sin. For we have died. We died on the cross with Jesus, which means that we have been set free from sin. And it means that now, since we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We have the new life of the resurrection already inside of us. We have that new life that sprung forward from the tomb on Easter morning. And we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death cannot kill Jesus. If Jesus was down here right now in his body and you tried to shoot him, it wouldn't work. He wouldn't die. It is not possible. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. Death had its chance to get Jesus, and it failed. But now, the life that our Lord lives, he lives to God. And so too is it with you. Now, yes, of course, we still have the weakness of the body. For the vast majority of us, we will likely die unless our Lord comes to be with us, comes to return for that last day. But make no mistake, this new life that was earned for you on the cross was proven to be yours when he rose from the dead. Which means that now, even though it's not obvious, you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Don't miss the significance of what Paul is telling us here. In your baptism, you are united with Jesus, both in his death and in his life. When he died, you died. And because he rose, you also will rise from the dead. Even now, you live a new life free from sin. And do recognize what I mean when I say that. It means that you are forgiven. But it also means that now, in Christ, by the power of the Spirit, through your baptism, you have been freed to do good. To do actual good. Make no mistake, our sin is still there, even though it's dead. It still keeps on trying to claw its way into us. We still fail. We still fall. That's why we need to come and receive the forgiveness of our sins. But that by the power of your baptism and Christ in you and the Spirit working through you, you are able to do actual good works. They don't earn you your salvation. Don't think of it like that. But they are good. They are deeds that God looks at and is pleased with, that he's happy with. Recognize the awesomeness of that truth. That because of what Christ has done, because he came down and died, because he was baptized, and because you were baptized, that you have been freed from sin. That when you stand before your Savior again, when he does come back, when he returns and he stands and he judges you, which we know he's going to do, the Bible tells us that he is going to lay out the deeds that we are going to have to give an account for. And that might seem kind of scary, and in some ways it is, especially if you haven't repented of those sins, especially if they haven't been paid for. But your sins have been paid for. All of your sins were washed away in your baptism and washed on to Christ, where he carried them to the cross and died with them. Your sins have been killed. They have already been paid for. Christ atoned for them. He paid the price for your sins, which means that they have been blotted out. Which means that when the Lord returns and you stand before him in judgment, it's not your sins that he's going to be talking about, because those have been forgiven. It is instead your good works that will be laid out for all to see. It will be the good that God has worked through you in your lives that will be shown for all to see. The miracles that God has worked through you, a sinful human being who he has freed from sin and who he has given new life in his Son. The evidence will be clear because of what Christ did for you, because you were baptized into him, you will be raised from the dead and you will be welcomed into his kingdom. For he has saved you and he has washed you, and even now he is able to work in you truly good deeds that you are free to go out and serve your neighbor with. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.